All right, here we go.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast.
Welcome, music enthusiasts, to the Wisconsin Music Podcast, the show dedicated to amplifying the rich and diverse music scene right here in the heart of Wisconsin. I'm your host, Zach Fell, and we've got a special treat for you today. In this episode, we're thrilled to introduce an indie artist whose music is like a journey through the heartland. Hailing from rural Iowa, she draws inspiration from her authentic upbringing, crafting soul-stirring melodies and thought-provoking lyrics that resonate with her life experiences. But what makes this episode even more exciting is a remarkable collaboration at the heart of her upcoming debut solo studio album, Room to Grow. The one and only Willie Porter, a beloved musician from our very own Milwaukee, Wisconsin, joins her on nearly every track. Together, they've created a musical masterpiece that promises to stir your emotions and spark your imagination. Room to Grow is an album that showcases her artistic evolution, featuring a blend of genres and heartfelt stories that will leave a lasting impression on your heart. From recollection of farm life in Room to Grow to the call for unity in Ascension. If you're a fan of indie music, authentic storytelling, and the magic of musical collaboration, you're in for a real treat. So stay tuned as we dive into the world of our guest's music, explore her experiences, and discover what makes Room to Grow such a remarkable album. And without further ado, let's welcome the talented Carmen Nickerson. Why don't you start with your music origin story? Kind of tell us how music started in your life and kind of like got you to where you are today.
My grandmother Rose taught us all piano lessons. It was required for us to take some piano from her. There were six of us, so she taught all six of us piano, and which continued for my sister and I. My four brothers did not continue, and they realized later on in college, regretfully, they should have, because chicks really dig guys who play piano and sing. But it was too late. And then band was something we all had to take. So I took clarinet for 8 years. My dad was a barbershop singer. So he sang in the barbershop chorus and in several quartets. He played cornet and trumpet in high school, and he'd always pick up instruments and teach himself how to play, taught himself how to play harmonica and violin and guitar and different instruments. And probably if he hadn't been a farmer, he would have been a music teacher, maybe.
Okay.
So I was in the family, singing in the choir throughout high school, throughout college. And in so choral programs were a big thing. And I just think that'll help with harmony, hearing barbershop all the time and then singing in choirs. So constantly being around harmony. I love harmonies and harmonizing. And so in high school, I kind of started to think it'd be fun to be a pop star. But that was something not encouraged by my parents.
Okay.
Getting into rock and roll. And I mean, also, I didn't know how to do it. You didn't know how to get into music at that time without Googling or.
Right.
And there, I didn't know anybody who had actually gotten into being a professional musician. But I just started with the whole story. So then I was in the choirs. I started sitting with bands in college and meeting all the local singer songwriters and just begging to sing with them anytime I could. And I did have. Got a 4-year degree from Iowa State University in the College of Agriculture is what my degree's in.
Okay.
And just some traveling after college, went to Taiwan on a 4-H exchange, came back, had several jobs. Then I got a full-time job with Colgate-Palmolive as a sales rep.
Okay.
Which was a very respectable job, made my mom super happy. And then I got laid off, which made me super happy. And I then said, okay, I'm going to try this music thing. And I went to LA for a couple years to see if I could figure out how to get into the music scene there, which I did a few things, but the LA scene definitely, it was not, it's just, I moved after a couple years, just this, the population, the pollution, the mentality, I wasn't real crazy about it. And so I ended up in Milwaukee because I had a I have a brother here and my sister was here, so it was a free place to live.
Okay.
And then in Milwaukee, I ended up finding a band through the want ads, through the paper.
Okay.
And it was an all original female band. So we got together and we'd write songs and play at all the Globe. I don't know if you, did you play any of those places?
Yeah.
The Globe in Milwaukee and Sydney High building, which I think they tore down. So we
yeah,
played
I think so.
All over.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't start writing music at all until Los Angeles. I was dating a hip hop producer, and he had all these tracks, like something I guess you're doing with your students.
Right.
He's more of a track maker.
Okay.
And so he's like, hey, here's some tracks, write something to it. And so I'm like, okay. I didn't know anything about writing. So I just sat down with it and like, oh, this is kind of fun. Okay. So that's how that started.
Okay.
So, but I've been doing music for a living for quite a while. And so as a result, I've been doing pretty much almost every kind of music you can imagine to make a living at it, playing at jazz clubs, playing with the big, large horn bands for the private parties.
Right.
Singing at church, sang with an all original children's band called the Chickadees.
Okay.
And which was actually really great children's music, because some of it's annoying. This stuff wasn't.
I did 9 years of general music, so I kind of get an idea of, like, you know, there's some great children's music out there, and there's some that's like, you're just writing music to get a paycheck, and this is not the greatest stuff ever.
Right? Yeah, you want it so an adult doesn't mind it. I think that's a good sign.
Right, because then you can enjoy it with your kids if that's, you know, what you want to do.
Pull your hair out.
Exactly. So you've been doing music for, you know, you said professionally, you know, as your full-time gig. How many years has that been that you've been doing this?
Over 20.
Okay.
It's a while. I'm not opposed to part-time jobs. I take them when they fall into my lap.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to turn away. Like, I've had friends that this forensic accountant, who's a friend of mine.
Okay.
Every now and then she would hire me for some work.
And so a forensic accountant, what is that?
I know. Doesn't that sound interesting? It would be, so one example would be if a company thinks somebody's embezzling from them.
Okay.
She or he, the accountant, would come in and get all of the numbers, their books, and go through everything. And they should be able to tell if the person has been stealing.
Gotcha.
That's one thing. Also hired by a lot of divorce attorneys as well. Sometimes the husband, usually the husband, is the one who has the money, not always, but typically sometimes they're trying to hide things too.
Gotcha.
They're trying to not make it look like they have less money so they don't have to share it all.
Gotcha.
They're soon to be ex.
Right, exactly. Okay. So we talked about how you got into music. So you've been doing this for 20 years. What would be like the top 5 things you would suggest to people that want to kind of follow in that same path of doing this for a career?
Oh my gosh. Don't do it like I did it.
Okay.
Man, I feel like maybe if I could go back, I feel like there would have been definitely value in getting a degree in music. I think you could learn a lot from that. If people, for example, going to, what's the place in Boston that a lot of people go to?
Berklee.
Berklee seems like going to a school like that could be helpful, some kind of music school, because then you can make a lot of contacts.
Okay.
With people, finding people that are doing what you want to do, and seeing how getting advice from them, and are those several things, and it's so different now. It's so different now than when I was wanting to get into being a musician. I think. Initially, I thought I wanted to become, like I said, a pop star initially.
Yeah,
that was
right
in my head. But I know networking is a big thing. Getting out there, if you are living in a larger music city than like Nashville or New York or
right,
LA, I would think you would want to get out there and just be involved in the community. Do open mics, do all the showcases you can. Because that's what music seems to be about. It's networking.
Networking and connecting with others. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Which sometimes is not everybody's forte. So that's what can be sort of not quite fair, because you can be an amazing musician, but if you're maybe you're more reclusive. And so that's the only part that seems sometimes maybe it's not quite, if that's the right word, not quite fair, because talent isn't always what makes it.
Right.
Definitely. You know, it's like some people are extroverts on the stage, but once they come off stage, they become an introvert. They're more like, I used all my energy up on stage. Now I need just time to recharge and I just need some time alone or whatever they feel helps them recuperate from being up on stage.
Which I relate to that somewhat. I mean, I like people, but I'm also just want to have quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody needs a little bit, but yeah, like some people are just much more naturally extroverted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, being doing this for almost 20 years, you've obviously seen a lot of things that are positives and some things that are not as great in the local scene. What are some of the things that you've seen that's been positive in the local scenes that you've been a part of?
There's some nice, really good supportive networks. There's Chick Singer Night. Have you heard of that at all? And that would be one thing to get involved with if a woman, for example, wants to get into singing locally around the Milwaukee area. Chick Singer Night is a national showcase that has chapters in different cities.
Okay.
So I've met a lot of the female singers I know around town through that. And I feel like most part, everybody's super supportive of each other. I don't feel any cattiness, which I know a lot of people think women are, and they can be that way, but I've just felt just support through that. Okay. And that's definitely a positive thing. As far as negative in the local scene?
Or things that just are oppressed and need to be revitalized so it's not feeling so strangled.
I feel like, well, one thing is I feel like some club owners are still, they're still in the 1950s as far as how much they pay people.
Isn't that the truth?
That's really, I don't know, I'd say pathetic. But truly it is. There are some places that it's, you get 100, I'm not doing them myself anymore, but they'll pay $100. And that's what people got paid at least in the 70s, was $100.
Yep.
So we've got 50 years ago and it's the same price. Well, everybody else wants their prices. They want to make extra money all the time themselves, but that's frustrating. The thought that a musician, I think some people look at musicians maybe as it's just a hobby. Maybe they don't take it serious when they see the musician out there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, it's just extra spending money for them. And there are a lot of people that are doing it as their prime income.
Exactly. Now, being observant of that, do you find that when you perform, do you charge for the door? Or are you more set up to set a contract with the venue and have a set price?
When I'm doing, I guess you call them, you know, the term jobbing, which I believe refers to, I guess they get the name from calling it a job, gigging musician, playing at the jazz clubs, playing at the supper clubs, playing for the private parties. Those are all prearranged, just getting a fee ahead of time.
Right.
And private parties are always typically good pay. But yeah, and those are when they're more cover music. When it's original music, then that's different. And I've done a lot of the touring with Willie. You mentioned Willie Porter, and we've played together. And whenever I'm playing with Willie, it's almost always, sometimes we've done some private parties, but it's typically a ticketed show.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a guarantee. And other times it's a door deal.
Okay.
So that varies. I've got my own album coming out, which is why we're talking. And that's going to be at St. Kate the Arts Hotel in Milwaukee at the Arc Theater, which is inside the hotel.
Yep.
And so I'm running that myself, selling tickets on Eventbrite. And so that's how I'm doing that one.
Okay.
Producers and beat makers of Milwaukee, it is time for the 2024 Big Beat MKE Beat Battle Tournament, taking place at the Jackalope Lounge at the Wicked Hop in Milwaukee's Third Ward on Thursday nights between April 25th and June 13th. Producers are going to go head-to-head in 3 1-minute rounds to determine who is going to move on to the next round of the tournament with some amazing prizes from some great sponsors. Don't forget that you can submit your beats today at breakingandentering.net through March 31st.
So let's kind of talk about this new project that's coming out. First of all, let's kind of talk about how you connected with Willie. How did that come about? How'd that go?
Yeah. So I was in a band called the Bystanders with a bass player named Steve Kleiber. And Steve was Willie's bass player.
Okay.
And Steve used to tell Willie that we should play together. He said, you guys would sound great together. So Willie had heard about me through Steve. Steve, unfortunately, died in a house fire about 10 years ago. And beautiful, beautiful soul, amazing bass player. But going back to Chick Singer Night, I happened to be just watching Chick Singer Night one year. It was the Christmas show. And Willie was there sitting in playing with one of his friends that was the Are You Man Enough? Because they have a Are You Man Enough spot too.
Okay.
At Chick Singer Night. They let one guy perform. So, there, yeah. But Willie was there. So I was just like, hey, Willie, that's Carmen. I think you heard about me through Steve. And I honestly didn't know if he was registering that who I was or anything.
Right.
But the next day he reached out to me on Facebook. And then I reached back and said, I heard you were looking for someone to sing backups on this new album, which at the time was his album called How to Rob a Bank.
Okay.
Which he had a female band from Los Angeles named Raining Jane, and they were his band on that album.
Gotcha.
And so he needed someone local to be able to do the female harmony parts. And so he gave me the album, said, learn these songs. And we got together and I learned the songs and sang with them. And it went really well and I was hired.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. It was very exciting because it was something I admire his music. And it feels like one of those things where you're in the flow and everything just kind of works out without having to try too hard.
Right. That's always like the best thing. It's just like, everything just feels like this is exactly how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So then we toured together with his album with the band, and him and I started writing songs together. And then we released our own album, a duo album called Porter Nickerson. It was under our last names.
Okay.
Called Bonfire to Ash. And we toured that together for a couple of years, played all over the country, and also went to England and Wales and played. And now I've written a lot of songs with him on some of his other albums too. And I've lost track, probably recorded on 4 or 5 of his albums as backup vocals and some co-writing as well. He just released an album.
Okay.
As well. And he's out. He just left. He's out touring the East Coast, mostly solo.
Cool.
For his new album.
Nice. So then, as the years progress, then you have this album that's coming out. You actually have Willie on this on, I think, almost every song except for one or two. And
this
then
one, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you also have a drummer from the area, and his name is
John Clarko.
And he's on this as well. So how did you meet up with him?
And that's that collaboration, a networking thing, right? You
right.
start with one band, you join another band, and then you just start meeting all of the local musicians. And so I probably met John through Kostia, my piano player.
Okay.
John used to play with Daryl Sturmer, and Kostia still is Daryl Sturmer's piano player. If you don't know who Daryl is, Daryl's the guitarist with Genesis and Phil Collins.
Exactly.
So Kostia, yeah, I think that's how I met John Clarko. It's been a while. Met them quite a long time ago.
Okay. So this is a long time coming, this collaboration for this album. Where did you go and record this? Was this a home studio? Was this going to a professional studio? Kind of let the listeners kind of know how this all went together.
Yeah, the Exchange is called The Exchange, and it's around 27th and National here in Milwaukee. It's been here for a long time, since mm-hmm. the 70s. In fact, when you're in there, you'll see a photograph of David Bowie, who recorded there in the 70s.
Okay.
So it's cool space, very nondescript from the outside. You don't want to advertise that you have all this really cool recording
right.
inside.
Exactly.
So Kevin Arndt is the engineer. He's been there a while. It's been under Joe Puerta of Ambrosia, mm-hmm. the bassist for Ambrosia. Joe currently owns the space. He was living in Milwaukee for a while, but Kevin's looking at taking it over.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, the exchange recording complex. And yeah, fabulous engineer. They've got wonderful gear there too. They've got the drum set all, it's actually John Clarko's drum set that's there and already tuned beautifully.
Nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So how did this, did you write all the songs? Did you, I think if I remember correctly, you collaborate with Willie on a lot of this. So kind of put us through that process of putting all these songs together.
Yeah, there's four of the songs are, as, and I'm sure like a lot of your guests, the lockdown was a great time for creativity because there you actually had time.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least half of the songs were written during that time. Lots of time to reflect. And also was taking an online songwriting course through a local guy, John Seeger, who's an amazing songwriter. And so there was some inspiration from his classes. And so as far as co-writing, I think Willie and I co-wrote at least three of the songs. Sometimes, I think with this album, sometimes in the past, it's been he started the song and then I come in and add something to it.
Okay.
These were more my story. And then with some of them, I would show them to him and he would add something to it. I add a bridge, add a different chord structure to it. And yeah, Room to Grow. Two of the songs are very much about growing up on a farm. Those are the big story songs. So yeah, I like collaborating a lot. I feel like in general, you can come out with a better song when you get two different heads together that have different ways of looking at things. And Willie's got such an amazing, so many different kinds of chord progressions that he can come up with. My chordal playing is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. But he just, with the way he plays and the experience he has, it just brings it to another level for you.
Yeah, definitely. And Kostia as well, my piano player, who is a genius.
Yeah.
He has essentially a PhD in music. He's from St. Petersburg, Russia, originally, and he went to the conservatory called Rimsky-Korsakov Conservatory, which was considered probably the best conservatory in the world for music.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think he started going there. I forget what age he was, but everything in his life, he had to rehearse 4 hours a day at least just on his piano.
Mm-hmm.
And that then he had to do his homework on top of all of that.
Yes, for sure. Now, of the songs on this album, what would be like two or three of them that you would like the listeners to kind of listen to grab their attention and go out and check out the rest of the album?
And it's interesting because they're so diverse. It is a really eclectic album. I feel like people would really, if you like story songs, then I would say the In Comparison and the Room to Grow. If you really like the story, more folk story songs. But if you are into blues, I have a song that's really bluesy called I'll Never Forget. And then my Ascension and Spiritual Playboy, I love them. I mean, I love all the songs, but Ascension and Spiritual Playboy have both a lot of layering, kind of mystical. They're both very mystical with a lot of different instrumentation and rhythms and atmosphere. Like John Clarko added all these different kinds of sounds to it with his percussion. And we even have a Duduk, which I didn't know anything about the Duduk.
Okay.
It's Armenian. An Armenian instrument looks sort of like a clarinet.
Okay, yeah.
And so Kostia's friend, who I know as well, but they're better friends, he's from that area, not Armenia, but a region close by. And I should remember, it's Uzbekistan, maybe. I probably have it wrong, so forgive me. But that's one of my favorite parts of the song is when he's playing the Duduk. It's just got this really, you can just kind of picture maybe the belly dancer.
Okay.
Like going through the beads,
mm-hmm,
into the deep incense smelling room. That's the image I want. And I feel like they did a really good job of coming up with that kind of imagery.
Excellent. Excellent. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Shopping around, you've been looking for a good deal, and you think you found someone shiny and new to throw yourself into. You go looking for those kind, sweet girls who have some troubles of their own, who walk the beach with a cross of gold and sit in an ashram and own. Someday you'll be old, and your charms will no longer hold. Just a spiritual playboy playing by your own rules. You think you're enlightened, but you're just cruel. Down just to fill the rug, make her believe she needs your embrace. You tried it on me and I almost fell. Thank God it was only a phase. You like to use fancy words like tantra, mantra, brahma. The damaged boy with a pretty face, did you forget that one called karma? You think you're some kind of old show. The Cali will swallow you whole. Just a spiritual playboy playing by your own rules. You think you're enlightened, but you're just cruel. Tear her down just to build the rug, make her believe she needs your embrace.
So Room to Grow is country sounding. It's 100% like kind of fun, hee-haw kind of country blasting song. And in comparison, is more of a ballad. Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful ballad.
The next question I have for you is, since you've been doing this for almost 20 years, what is work-life balance look like for you?
Well, I don't have a family. And I think, I don't know if I'm going to sound jaded, but I do believe this is kind of how it's been. It's much more difficult for women to have a career in music and a family.
I can see
it's
that,
not
definitely.
Impossible.
Yeah.
But if I look at the female friends of mine who are musicians and the male friends of mine that are musicians, the men, almost all of them have families. And because it's still the way it is somewhat that the women stay home and while the guy goes out on the road and tours, I haven't seen that so much the opposite.
Yeah.
So that is probably the main reason why I could do music. It's kind of sad, but kind of feels like you had to choose your child.
Yep, exactly. Choose your own adventure for this life, right?
Yeah. And I know some female musicians, but typically they've had a lot of family around that was very helpful.
Gotcha.
so mom or dad that would watch right. the children so they could go out and do shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like my balance is not that great right now, because I also I feel like I'm completely overwhelmed with this project that I should be getting out to do some hiking and spend time in nature. So yesterday I did. I went down to Seven Bridges. Do you okay. know Seven Bridges? It's not too far from you.
No, I haven't. Where's that?
Oh my gosh. You must go. It's super okay. close to you. It's called Seven Bridges. It's this ravine that takes you to Lake Michigan. It's over close to, it's close to Caledonia, Oak Creek.
Okay.
Cudahy. So you're really close. And it's this incredible ravine. And then there you are at Lake Michigan. So I went down there yesterday, but I went down there to record a video to help promote my crowdfunding campaign. Yeah. But at least I was getting some time in nature.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I know there's one in Cudahy that kind of goes down by the Lake Michigan as well. That's the one that we've been to. That's when
is that
we
not Seven
when,
Bridges. Do you think that is?
If it is Seven Bridges, I haven't seen a sign calling it that. I don't remember exactly what it
maybe,
is.
Maybe it is, and you just didn't know the name because it's, well, I don't know. But yeah, it goes through, there's all these wooden bridges that cross over this little creek.
Oh, yeah. It must be the same place. I just didn't remember it called Seven Bridges. I thought it was just yeah. called something else. Okay,
it's
yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's a great place, definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm. But when I have time, I have a friend who has an apple orchard, and so I went out picking apples last weekend, but it would be good to take more time. I grew up riding horses, and okay. so if anybody's listening who has a horse that they would, you know, they would like to let me borrow, I miss riding horses.
Right? Yeah, I've done that a few times with my family where we gone like up in the Dells area or somewhere around there and gone rode horses. It's good enjoyable time.
Cool.
Yeah. Last question I have for you is a gig that's made an impression on you, like as a performer, something that's just made a complete difference in your musical life. And the other side of that is as an audience member, what concert have you gone to that made an impression on you?
Well, probably the most exciting gig that I had was getting to be on a Prairie Home Companion.
Nice.
Which Garrison Keillor, he had syndicated that on NPR, and I used to listen to that all the time, was a big fan of it. And then Willie just happened to reach out to them, and they said, yeah, we'd like to have you on the show. So we got to be on the last show of Prairie Home Companion that they ever performed in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And it was pretty amazing to get to be backstage and see how that whole production was put together and how Garrison, they were just writing to the last minute, changing yeah. things up. And it was really fascinating. And his band, too, was just so good. He went in to rehearse, I think, the day before for a little bit and then the day of. And then he just gave him your charts and they just, which makes sense. You're yeah. going to be touring, doing that, playing with guest artists all the time. They were amazing and so humble. I feel like a lot of times the best musicians are really humble.
Mm-hmm.
That typically, I don't feel like, I don't know, most of the musicians I've met are pretty cool and pretty humble. I actually haven't met that many musicians that are arrogant or difficult to work with. I feel like most everybody I know and work with is just amazing and talented and just down to earth.
Good.
So that was an amazing opportunity and gig. And then to watch a show. Well, I've been to the big ones. I've seen The Police and Peter Gabriel when he was touring with Sting.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So that was incredible. I'm trying to think of one concert that stood out among others. I can tell you one that really inspired me to keep continuing songwriting, and it was just in a humble place in Chicago.
Okay.
It was a woman, her band's called Shivery.
Okay.
And she, I think it was called Martyrs.
Okay.
The place in Chicago is called Martyrs. It's a real kind of a rock club, maybe fit 150 people. But I knew her bass player, so I went out to see them play. And she had a really interesting, vibey, she wasn't like a hard, heavy hitter rock, but real, really vibey songs. And just watching her play and sing I don't know what it was, but afterwards I just felt super inspired to like start hitting the grindstone and get going with working on honing my songwriting.
Yeah.
After seeing her.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Her real name, her name is Shivery, but her name is Ambrosia Parsley.
Okay.
That's actually her real name. I asked
Very
her.
Cool. Very cool.
Her mom and dad are hippies.
Yeah. Well, you know, a name is just a name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like to let the listeners know before I let you go this evening?
I don't think so, but just thank you. Thank you so much, Zach. And thank you for anybody listening. We really appreciate your support. And
absolutely.
I'm sure you guys know that it's can be challenging to recoup your costs as when you go into the studio. And,
yes, absolutely.
And so yeah, buy CDs, even if you don't have a, I don't know, just if you have a CD player or buy something from an artist,
right.
Buy a t-shirt to support them.
Right. Don't just stream their music, but actually go and like buy digital copies. Like if you're like on Bandcamp, are you on Bandcamp?
Yes. And yeah, if you know your friends are doing crowdfunding, support that.
Exactly.
And right. Go to their sites to stream from them.
Yeah. All right. Great. So Carmen, thank you so much for being on the Wisconsin Music Podcast. It has been a pleasure talking with you, learning about all your musical endeavors. And it was like a great pleasure just meeting and talking with you.
You too, Zach. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank
you. Really appreciate you.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Once again, I'm Zach Fell, your host and creator of the Wisconsin Music Podcast, where I love to amplify the great sounds coming out of the Wisconsin state. We have great talent here, great support, great listeners. Thanks to Fox City's Indie Radio for syndicating this on Wednesdays and Sundays, along with their other great programming. So make sure you check out the Fox City's Indie Radio. Thanks to Carmen Nickerson for being such a great guest here on the Wisconsin Music Podcast. It was such a joy to hear about all her great journeys through music over the last couple decades. And make sure you go and check out her music on streaming sites and supporting her by purchasing her music on Bandcamp. If you'd like to be on the show, just go up to wisconsinmusicpodcast.com, fill out the guest request form up at the top, ask for your email and your name, and then I'll send you an auto email asking you for more information. If you are enjoying these episodes, please consider donating to the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Donations help pay for the website and putting the podcast up on streaming services, and also getting our name out there to all Wisconsinites and others that are interested in our great music here in Wisconsin. Donations are secured through PayPal and Stripe. All you have to do is go to the website and click on Donate to WMP. You can also head over to our Instagram and Facebook pages and like us there. Leave some comments. Also go to the podcast review section of your podcast player and leave a 5-star review. It would be great. You can also head over to YouTube and watch the interviews and leave comments there as well. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time.